Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Health Talk. This is Donald Snowden. Hope everybody had a good week last week. I did. Had an absolute wonderful time. Got the opportunity to go on a Disney cruise with my son and my nephew, and it was a good time. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the people. Really enjoyed just some quiet time and enjoyed the children. And that's what it's all about. So thank you to them for coordinating that and putting that together. It was a good time. And we're back here for another week, getting ready to touch some lives and see who we can help, see who we can affect, see what I can learn this week. So I appreciate you joining. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for just coming in and spending a little time with me while we go through this. Got in super late last night and been working all day, appointments and getting things together. And now, you know, we're here for this. So, like I said, this is my enjoyment. This is my relaxation. This is what, at the end of the day, to be able to wind down and share this kind of information is what helps me. And I hope it brings value to you as well. And I really hope that, you know, we're all looking at the things that we love to do and the things that we're passionate about in our lives, and we're doing them. Whether it be just a few minutes in the evening or a few minutes in the morning before we go to work or on our lunch break. But some point in time during the day, every day, do something that you're passionate about. Do something that you love to do. It'll help the quality of your life, and it'll actually help you with feelings of depression and feelings of not being worthy enough, because your passion and your dreams are always something that's bigger than you. And so we got to do and tap into that every single day. Because if we don't, we're doing ourselves a disservice. We all put here for a purpose. We all put here for a reason. And so just tap into that. You know what you love to do. You may not know what's your passion. You may not even know that you can make a life out of it. But if it's something you love to do and it's positive and it brings value to you and the people around you, do it. You got to get it out. You got to. You have to. Because if you go away from here and you didn't get out what you were supposed to get out, the world didn't progress. The world didn't get anything out of it because you weren't here to put into it. So whatever passion you have, whatever purpose you have, you got to bring it every single day. And like I always say, you can't bring your passion or your purpose if your health gets in the way. And that's why we do what we do every day, to try to keep our health at tip-top shape, stay on our game. And once we do that, then we can move forward. We can do what we're passionate about. We can do what we love to do. And I would like to talk to anybody who has a particular passion and loves doing what they love to do. No, have a conversation about it. If you don't know what you want to do, you don't know how quite to get it started, just hit me up. I would love to be able to help you and chart that course with you and jump in the foxhole with you and see if there's something that we can work together, see if it's something that we can do to get you where you need to be. But I want to jump into tonight's topic, and not going to be too long, but it's the third, it's one in three Americans suffer from it. And they're diabetic or pre-diabetic. And I don't know what really pre-diabetic means. It's either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Either you have diabetes or you don't have diabetes. They talk about precursors and different things for diabetes, but, you know, they've pretty much told us, especially in our community, meaning the African-American community, that it's hereditary. It's just something that's going to happen. If your mother had it or your father had it or somebody in your family has it, you might as well just get ready to have it. And then let's just be on insulin for the rest of our lives or be on some kind of pill for the rest of your life. And that truly doesn't have to happen. It really doesn't. It's one of those things that if we just fight it, fight the thoughts of what the medical system tells us, we can win. Because Type 2 diabetes is not something that we have to be stuck with. Now, type 1 diabetes is a little bit different because your body, your pancreas is not producing the insulin that you need. So you must supplement with insulin some type of way. But diabetes self affects, like I say, 1 in 3 Americans. There's 300 million Americans, so about 100 million Americans suffer from diabetes, and it claims over 250,000 lives each year. The problem has grown increasingly worse with a threefold increase in the past 3 years, which means that with this medical system that we have, we spend more money on medical needs than all nations combined, but yet diabetes is going up. If we have all this advanced technology and we have everything we need, why is it going up? The escalation in diabetes corresponds to a rise in heart disease, and also and both conditions have been associated with greater concentration of refined carbohydrates in our diets. And this is the Western diet that we all pretty much come from. Diabetes is traditionally viewed as a failure of the pancreas to release enough insulin for sugar metabolism. Insulin is a hormone needed to move sugar out of the blood and into the tissues. And so we have sugar floating around in our bloodstream, but it doesn't work if it's not in the tissue. And, you know, there's a big, you always hear a big debate on salt. Oh, you can't have too much salt. You can't have this with salt. But if we had this same thought and this same concentration about sugar and getting off of sugar and foods not being made that have a large amount of sugar. And I know a lot of people say, well, just like there's no salt foods, there's no sugar foods. But the problem is that's not true, because they use sweeteners such as a Splenda sweetener or artificial sweeteners, aspartame, that are chemicals. So, yeah, they may take out the sugar part, but then they add in chemicals to give you the sweetener. And that sugar or that chemical sweetener, that aspartame, is worse for your body than the sugar itself, because now you're not only adding sugar, but you're also adding chemicals to your cells. So cutting out sugar altogether or cutting back, you will find, has a great big benefit. And you'll find that a lot of our children are addicted to sugar. You can watch a child when they first get up in the morning. They're pretty mellow. They're pretty laid back. And about, you know, morning time for breakfast, you give them Egg or waffles and syrup, or you give them Sunny Delight, or you give them some kind of apple juice. And before you know it, they're bouncing off the wall. It's because that sugar has hit their system, and now it becomes a drug. And our bodies have sugar in them. We do need a little sugar, but we don't need as much sugar as we get. The ribo in your DNA is sugar, ribonucleic acid. Ribo is sugar. Our bodies need sugar and made up of sugar, but it's natural sugars that you can get from fruit, that you can even get from some vegetables. But the addition of sugar is what's causing a lot of the issues that we have. And when we talk about even diabetes, which they call type 1 juvenile diabetes, which is also type 1, is generally characterized as a true insulin deficiency. And this is one of the most serious forms of the disease, because it's believed to cause teenagers and even children pancreatic damage. Some even lead to pancreatic cancer. But the effect on the pancreas not producing enough insulin or not producing any insulin for the body to regulate itself is super unhealthy. And juvenile diabetes, you must receive insulin really for the most of your life. And even with the programs that we do with type 2 diabetes, where several people, thousands of people, I say several, but thousands, probably even hundreds of thousands of people have become ex-type 2 diabetics. With type 1, that program can be used, but all it'll make you help, all it will help you do is use the insulin that you're giving your body more efficiently. So you're not having to give yourself way more insulin, or you're getting the insulin into the bloodstream and out of the bloodstream back into the tissue, because that's essentially the course that it runs. So, you know, with that type 1 diabetes or juvenile diabetes, that's something you definitely have to be mindful of, and you definitely have to treat with insulin. And our program, like I said, will help you use that insulin more efficiently and effectively, so that you're stretching out your dosage and you're using you're using less of a dose each time. But even with that, your sugar levels need to be maintained, because then if you're eating too much sugar or you're producing a lot of sugar, then ingesting a lot of sugar, then your body's having to offset, or you're having to offset how much insulin you give yourself, even in a type 1 situation. And you can eat enough sugar to still have your sugar, blood sugar spike. So it's very important that even if you're type 1, because you don't get enough sugar, that, you know, you carry around, people carry around Snickers bars and orange juice and different things to make sure that if they feel a blood sugar drop and they have some sugar to eat. But the problem is, we shouldn't be indulging in the bad sugars. We shouldn't be indulging in candy and things like that. That's going to further cause damage to our body. And so it's okay, and it's still okay to be healthy being type 1 diabetic, because that's going to help the insulin go much further in the body. That's going to help the body efficiently use it much better. And in most adult onset diabetes, that's your type 2 diabetes, and that's where the body doesn't produce sufficient insulin. It does produce sufficient insulin, but the insulin doesn't get into the cells. And that's the most important thing. Normally, insulin enters the cell at points known as receptor sites. And when a receptor site becomes clogged by fat or plaque, then the body becomes insensitive to insulin and it cannot enter the cells. Glucose remains in the blood, creating a condition called hyperglycemia or high blood sugar. This excess is diagnosed as diabetes. So the excess sugar that stays in the bloodstream that doesn't get into the cells is what's then turned into diabetes, that excess that you have. And in this scenario, there's no need to increase insulin sensitivity. Taking more insulin will not accomplish this. And this is why we have such a big disparity in the medical system. Because the first thing they do for type 2 diabetes is they tell you that you don't have enough, they put you on insulin. And the problem is not the insulin. And then it's a synthetic form of insulin. Your body's producing insulin. And then the insulin forces itself into the cells or into the receptor sites, damaging the cells and damaging the receptor sites. And when you damage those areas, then you wonder why people have bad eyes or why they have to get certain limbs amputated. Simply because they're overrun with insulin. Insulin resistance is closely related to a concept in which there is also sufficient insulin. Here, allergic responses to specific foods from insulin doing its job by disturbing carbohydrate metabolism. The foods creating the problem vary from person to person. Wheat may create high blood sugar in one individual, while corn may adversely affect someone else. Allergy-provoking foods can be determined on an individual basis with food allergy tests. Adult-onset diabetes is much more common than juvenile diabetes. It tends to be an acquired disease. So where type 1 diabetes is juvenile, for you may be born with it or you may get it as a child, this type 2 diabetes is something that comes on later in life, whether as an adult or as a child who, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, but you didn't start out with it. And a lot of times it can be acquired through, you know, being overweight or poor diet or lack of exercise. It also may be caused frequently by eating foods that don't correspond with a good, healthy diet. The beginning stages of type 2 diabetes are often asymptomatic, although the pre-diabetic state can be accompanied by obesity, or especially around the waistline. Classic frequent urination, especially at night. Great thirst, you're always thirsty. You're hungry, you're fatigued. You're irritable. As diabetes progresses, your eyes and kidneys and nervous system and skin become affected. Infectious and hardening of the arteries can develop. And even diabetic coma can result from a lack of insulin. So we have to understand that the problem is not the insulin all the time. The problem is the fact that the insulin is not being absorbed. And just like I talk about how the body absorbs nutrition in through the small intestines and the villi in the small intestines, same thing with insulin at the cell receptor site. Things have to be absorbed for them to work. Things just floating around in the bloodstream are just that, floating around in the bloodstream. But our cells are what keep us alive. Our cells are what keeps us healthy. Your blood cell count is extremely important. So, therefore, if we're not getting the insulin into the cells, the receptor sites or the receptors in the cells, then we don't have insulin in the body. And so this becomes a huge, has become a huge disparity, not only in this country, but in a lot of developed countries where they're depending on bad food, because we eat by what we eat by taste and not by means of necessity, or we don't eat to live, we live to eat. And so that's why diabetes is on the rise. And when you have a system that doesn't understand how to handle diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes, because giving you more insulin won't fix the problem. We have to give the body what it's deficient in. We have to give the body what it's missing. And in type 2 diabetes, there's a range of vitamins and minerals that are missing that are keeping those cell receptors from opening and closing. Chromium and vanadium being the big two, but you can't just take the chromium and vanadium by itself, because you need the cofactors to help make it work, to help it absorb into the cells. So you don't bake a cake with just two ingredients. You're not going to get nutrition into a cell with just two ingredients. It's cofactors to the chromium and vanadium. But once you get it and you start to take it, and the body starts to respond because it has what it needs, then the body will start to function normally. And it's just like, I liken these cell receptors to a garage door, an overhead garage door. You push the button, the garage door goes up. Push the button, and you pull the car in. You push the button, and the garage door goes down. Well, just imagine that car being insulin, and the garage door is closed, and the power's out. So because the power's out to the house, you push that garage door button, nothing's happening because the power's out. That opener that opens the, pulls the garage door up is not functioning. So you keep hitting the opener, you keep hitting the opener, you keep hitting the opener. You continue to hit that opener is the same way you're pumping your body with insulin. You keep putting it in there, but nothing's getting in the garage. Finally, you get frustrated, and you say, you know what? I'm just going to drive the car through the garage with the door down. The door doesn't want to open. I have to get in the garage. I'm going to drive my car through the garage. So you drive your car through the garage, and guess what happens? That garage door is a cell. So now you've driven all of this heavy weight of insulin through this metal, flimsy garage door that can't stand up to a car. And when you just done that, and now you damaged the whole garage door, which is the same way cells get damaged when you're forcing insulin into the cell. So now you have a garage door that's damaged, the frame is damaged, everything is damaged. Just imagine every one of your cells being little garage doors and you driving insulin through them. You're killing those cells. If you have enough dead cells in one place, that's when we talk about getting things amputated. That's why diabetics have issues with getting things amputated. Their eyes go bad. Their kidneys and their liver and all of those things go bad because it's all cellular. Your body's overrun with a synthetic form of insulin. It's all cellular, and the cells are becoming damaged more and more each time. So at this point, not only do you have amputations, but you have swollen limbs. You see people with type 2 diabetes, they got to wear their special shoes. Their eyes go bad. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that happens when the body's overrun with insulin. And we don't understand why. Well, we do understand because it's not in their best interest to heal you. The medical system, even if it's a cure available, there's no law saying they have to cure you. So they make so much more money off of office visits and doctor calls and you coming in for your joints hurting or your limbs hurting, or you having to get amputations, or you having to get these special shoes, or you having to get stronger and stronger prescriptions of glasses, or you having to have eye surgery. It's so much money to be made off of the diabetes epidemic, if you will, that for them to cure you or just give you what you need so your body can heal itself, there's no money in that. And we understand that they're a for-profit organization. All of these people have to be paid. So we don't deal with that on this side. We just focus on giving you what the body's missing, and the body can heal itself. Also, with the change in your diet, cutting out a lot of sugary foods is going to be your biggest stop. And people say, well, you know, if I cut out these things, what else is it? Can I eat? What can I eat to help me with this? And protein is very good with helping you stave off sugar, because protein will help you feel full. Protein processes in the body rather slowly, so you stay full longer, or you have that feeling of fullness, or you have that feeling of satisfaction, I should say. So that you don't crave or you don't have to go and eat. So nuts, fancy mixed nuts without peanuts. So that's a lot of your tree nuts, your Brazil nuts, your cashews, your almonds. Those are very good nuts to have. Pack a lot of protein. Legumes, lentils, those things pack a lot of protein. So the more higher protein foods you eat, the better you feel. Also, flax is very good. Flax powder, interestingly enough, is very good. You can mix up flax powder and add some milk to it, coconut milk, almond milk, and make like a little paste and eat it. And that works really well. Not only with the flax are you getting the protein, but that's high fiber. Plus, you're also getting some omegas out of there. So that's a good food in and of itself to eat to help with sugar and cravings of sugar. And the big thing we have to do is, if we have children and grandchildren, is to work on them. Because the traditional American diet, things that we would go buy from the grocery store or a lot of these restaurants that are set up, are just sugar factories. Pretty much everything you can go to the grocery store and get for children these days that they love to eat is sugar. And if you take them to, some of the fast food restaurants, the unhealthier ones, they're eating foods that seem like food, but they're loaded with carbohydrates. The white potatoes, which are the French fries and the breads and all of these things, the starches, we feed them pasta, spaghetti, we feed them things that we think are going to fill them up. But a lot of those things that we're using to fill them up are full of carbohydrates, which then turn into sugar. So they're getting sugar that way. It's not sugar always associated with just eating candy. So I think that's also a big misnomer about sugar, because people say, well, I don't eat a lot of sweets. And you don't have to eat a lot of sweets, but it's also all the other things that are in your diet that process into sugar very quickly. So fiber, which I was talking about, flax, or protein is very good, because that's going to hold you over. It's going to tide you over. And then when you have a chance to eat, you eat a good healthy meal, vegetables and things like sweet potatoes and lean meats if you're a meat eater. And those things will help you. And for breakfast, eat eggs. Eggs is a wonderful, you get a lot of protein from eggs. Good cholesterol, you get some carbohydrates, but eat as many eggs as you want. 3 or 4 eggs with some salsa on them, some avocado. That's a pretty good breakfast right there. Try going gluten-free. Gluten-free will cut out the wheat, barley, rye, and oats that we tend to be hooked on, which also produce into sugar. And so we can go gluten-free, which aisles in grocery stores are lined with gluten-free items these days, because so many people are suffering from digestive disorders and also suffering from celiac disease, which is a type of digestive disorder, so an intestinal disease, like diverticulitis, like ulcerative colitis, like Crohn's disease. So because so many people are suffering from that, they have to have gluten-free items that are drop-dead gluten-free. Because if a person with celiac disease decides they're going to have something that's supposed to be gluten-free and is not, they're going to get violently ill. So that's the reason why you see the aisles packed with gluten-free items. So going gluten-free will also help you. And it all takes discipline. It all takes a change of mindset. And mindset was something that we talked about last week, creating these daily disciplines to say, today I'm not going to do it. And then you get to the next day and you say, today I'm not going to do it. And there are going to be days that you get tested. There are going to be days that you get tried. There are going to be even days that you do have it. But just make it less than the days that you don't have. Have more days that you don't eat sugar than days you do. Start there. And be mindful of what it is you're eating, because sugar is in so many things. It's got so many different names. And so if we're not careful, we think we're cutting it out in this place, but we're actually adding it back in this place. And so glucose, fructose, maltodextrin, I mean, there's so many names for sugar. And actually, when this is over, I might post a list on this on my Facebook page of all the names of sugar, so that you can go and look at it and be able to see what they are. And then when you print that out or you screenshot it, and when you go to the grocery store, when you're looking at different products, you'll see sometimes 4 and 5 different names of the sugar that they have in there in the same product. And so you'll see how they're packing it in. They're just calling it different things. And so it's super important to be mindful of the sugars that we're having, of the foods that we're having. And if you are type 1 diabetic, you have to be extremely careful to make sure that you're getting the right amount of insulin, but you also want to make sure that the rest of the body's healthy so that you're having a good absorption of that insulin. And when I say absorbing, you're absorbing it as much of it as you can, or you're having enough of it in your bloodstream to be able to cause an effect. But when you're type 2 diabetic, it's no reason. It's absolutely no reason why you should be type 2 diabetic longer than 90 days. Absolutely none. And so if you've been going to a doctor for I don't care how many years and you're type 2 diabetic, he's done you an absolute disservice. Seriously. And so many people say, oh, you know, I love my doctor. Your doctor loves you too. Because y'all spend enough time together. And every time you go see him, he gets paid. And every time you go see him, you may either leave with another prescription or you're not any better than you were before you got there. Because your illness should be gone, especially dealing with type 2 diabetes. It should not be one-third of Americans suffering from diabetes, 100 million people, 100 million-plus people suffering from diabetes. It should not be that way, especially when there's ways to get off it. People get off millions, hundreds of people, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people become ex-type 2 diabetics. Some do it through diet. Some have done it through exercise. Some have done it through nutrition. That's probably got to be one of the easiest things to get out of your system. Type 2 diabetes. It's got to be. So, you know, it's up to us to make that change. It's up to us to say, you know what? I don't want to suffer from this. I don't have to suffer from this. It's not hereditary. I'm not going to have it just because somebody say I'm going to have it. I don't have to live with that. So if you know somebody suffering from it and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, because people are not going to do anything until they're ready. Took me a long time to understand that. But people truly not going to do anything until they're ready. Once they're ready, then they will do whatever it takes to get it done. But you can beat on them, you can talk to them, you can love on them, you can get mad at them, you can do whatever you want. But until they are ready, it doesn't even matter. So in this particular thought process, anybody that you know suffering from type 2 diabetes, suffering from type 1 diabetes that needs a little bit more help with their body and with the rest of their health around that, please share this video with them. Like I said, I'm on here. I get on here because this is what I enjoy doing. And the information may not be for you. Everything is not for everybody, but I'm sure if you share it enough, or we know enough people, that they can hear some information that's going to help them understand that you don't have to deal with this. Just do me that favor if you do nothing else. However many people come on, share it. Share a call. Send somebody, say, hey, I know you're suffering from, you know, type 2 diabetes, or I know you've had it for several years. Let me give you this phone number or let me let you hear this call. I'm going to forward you this information. Because that's what it's all about. So, you know, suffering from diabetes doesn't have to happen, type 2 diabetes. And once we understand that we are in control of our health all the time, we tend to be in a better place in life because we know that nobody has our best interest but us. So, you know, I appreciate those of you who joined today. If there's any questions, please feel free to inbox me or send me a comment. I like to create a discussion. I like to have some dialogue. You can text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And I'm just here to help. I'm here to be educated. I'm here to learn. But most of all, I'm here to help you, every single one of you, live your life, live your dreams, live your passion without your health getting in the way. Because if every day you got to wake up and deal with your health, you're not doing what you're called to do. So thank you so much for joining. We will be back next week. And share this information. You never know what you might say or do or share today that can affect millions of people tomorrow. And that's one of the things that I take with me. My mentor says that. I take with me my friend John Bryan, who was on this journey with me for a long time. I also take with me my mom, who helped me find my passion in this life and gave me everything that I needed to move forward. When she told me, don't let this ever happen to anyone else, and that was dealing with cancer. So I appreciate all of you. I appreciate my passion. I appreciate the journey. I'm loving it. And I appreciate all of you who take the time to stop in and join and just say hello, just listen to one or two bits of information. All of it's valuable. And just share it with someone else. So thank you guys so much. We'll see you back again next Tuesday for another topic, another discussion. Have a good night.